Hello, FCS Nation. It's time for your show. I'm your host, Kevin Marshall. I'm coming to you this week from the lovely Bitterroot Valley of Montana. Joining me like he does each week is the co-host of this program, the quarterback of this program, Mr. Stone Lebanowitz. Stone is coming to you from his broadcast center in the Sunshine State of Florida. Stone, we found out last week that there is some parity in the FCS, I think. Some of our top teams had to play their top game to get out of some road places with a win. So I think a lot of the talk of nobody can challenge these guys, it's going to be a cakewalk for them, was maybe kind of overstated just a little bit.
110% it was. Youngstown State had every single Jackrabbit fan on the edge of their seats. I mean, there are a few games on here. When you say parity, I think most FCS fans know what you mean. But we finally got what we thought we were going to get in week two and week three in week six. So a lot of these big dogs kind of got checked. It's interesting. It feels like the season's finally starting now in week seven, as odd as that sounds.
And I think you're right. And the first example of that is number one, North Dakota State, 33, number eight, Illinois State, 16. Well, you're looking at that, well, it's a multiple score win. Yes, but Illinois State was in this thing into the fourth quarter. It was a good football game. 407 total yards for North Dakota State to 328 for Illinois State. And no surprise, North Dakota State had more rushing yards than they did passing yards, but not by a whole bunch. 213 rushing to 194 through the air. This is a North Dakota State team that can hurt you throwing the ball and running the ball, and especially with the QB running the ball, Stone. Number two, South Dakota State, 35. Youngstown State, 30. Well, not to put too fine of a point on it or to give something away, but Youngstown earned their way into our top 25 with this ball game. They gave the Jackrabbits all they wanted. And Stone, before we talk about the X's and the O's of this game and the yardage and how it happened, I want to ask you this. What's it like when you're the quarterback of a team that you have a lead over a team like South Dakota State at the half, and then you're coming out of the locker room? I wonder what that's like, because they had South Dakota State on the ropes, did the Penguins, and they let them off of them.
It's this inevitable feeling. And I think if there's one spot in this game that you can point to that I can relate to when you ask, having had a lead on these guys in halftime in a big game, South Dakota State comes out of the locker room in the third quarter with a three and out, just like the quickest of quickest three and outs. And then they go up top to Bullock, 51 yard, and then Lowridge just kind of punches that thing in there. And that lead goes from double digits to three. And at that point, it doesn't even feel like a 0-0 ball game. When you're close with these guys, it seems like they are now the favorite. And that's exactly what this thing was. When it was 17-14 with the entire second half to be played, it feels like there's an avalanche coming. You just don't necessarily know when it is coming. And boy, it hit them in that third quarter when South Dakota State ran off 21. So it's just this avalanche, this inevitable feeling, but it's that first coming out of the gates. These guys get their butts chewed out in the locker room. Three and out, they score three plays later, and it's a 0-0 ball game, and then they win the game by a decent margin. So it's just what these guys do. It's just this inevitable force.
So what you're telling me is there was a little more going on in that Jackrabbit locker room other than eating oranges and stuff.
There's no doubt whatsoever that the white knuckles came out of the locker room. This is just the guys getting chewed out, obviously not playing their best ball, and it just means a little more for them coming out of that locker room. 100%, not just oranges and granola bars and cinnamon applesauce.
Number three, Montana, 42, Idaho State, 38. The Grizz won the football game, but they got problems in the secondary, Stone.
110%, but listen, this team can score. Talk about, I feel like it was a month ago that we talked about one of these guys needed to solidify themselves. Are you kidding me? There was 1,000 yards of offense in this game. I do think the takeaway here is Montana secondary, because they can't stop a nosebleed regardless of who they're playing. But this Montana Grizzlies team can score. They can do it, it seems like, in a variety of ways.
Yeah, it was the dynamic Wortham that really pressed us and made us, you and I, Kevin, have a conversation that if it weren't for Teron Dickens, I'd obviously been the offensive player of the week. It wasn't the case, though, but definitely worthy.
Number four, Tarleton State, 52, Southern Utah, 42. you called this one, Stone. You said that Southern Utah was going to put some things out there that was going to give the Tarleton Texans defense some problems in the passing game. And boy, howdy, did it. Now, Tarleton was missing the starting quarterback, but that don't mean the defense got to give up 42 points, does it?
No, it doesn't. This is a 52-42 final. This was going to be the test. I talked about Tarleton needed to be tested, and this was the one, but they passed the test. And it doesn't even matter who is calling the shots for them and who's throwing the oval pig around. This team knows how to score very, very similar to Montana. They got problems. And I think for us as media, you're not watching a Tarleton State game every single week. What you do is you're watching points. You're watching teams score points against them. And that worries us for the playoffs that are on the horizon. This team needs to figure out how to stop teams.
581 total yards for that Texans offense. 282 through the air and 299 on the ground. We call that balance, folks, and Tarleton has a lot of it, and it was on display last week. Number 5, Montana State, 34. Number 17, Northern Arizona, 10. It started off pretty darn good for the Lumberjack Stone, but it was all downhill from there.
Justin Lamson, it seemed like this very similar to a month ago. We needed Ayat to step into that spotlight. We needed Justin Lamson. We saw it against the South Dakota State team. We saw the potential, but he's firing now in some of these big conference matchups in the last two games. Almost 500 yards and 5 touchdowns, completing at a high clip right now. This is a team that, as the season gets on, they get stronger, and this was a good showing, I think, for all eyes.
Number 6, Southern Illinois, 55. Indiana State, 27. Well, we haven't talked about it yet, but we're marching towards a showdown in Fargo this week between North Dakota State and Southern Illinois. But you had to stay on track if you're the Salukis to make that game actually mean something, and they did here. DJ Williams was fantastic.
Yeah, there's no sleeper games for these guys. Listen, SIU scored 50 points. 50 burgers in back-to-back games. They haven't done that since Nick Hill was behind center for these guys. They can't be playing any better football than they are heading into the Fargo Dome. So I'm excited for the Saluki squad.
Number 7, Tennessee Tech, 66. Western Illinois, 20. Tennessee Tech's beating people to sleep, Stone. And it is an impressive thing to watch. We mention his name every week, Bobby Wilder. He has done a good job of not letting them get too high and not letting them think that they can just show up, throw their jerseys out in the field and win football games. Because let's face it, they're Tennessee Tech. They ain't never going to be able to just throw their jersey out there and beat anybody. Bobby Wilder's been a steadying hand to a group that's gotten better each week and are beating people to sleep. I said it twice.
The Leathernecks. Listen, this defense from Tennessee Tech is what me and you harp on every single week. 32 rushing yards on 23 attempts. That through four quarters is ridiculous. This is where this team is at their best. And oh yeah, they're scoring 70 along the way. That counts for something.
Number 21, Austin Peay, 44. Number 16, West Georgia, 30. Well, finally, West Georgia got beat. Well, the quarterback got hurt for West Georgia, so that helped Austin Peay be able to get that notch in the W column here. But Austin Peay, this is a team that can put up points too. And they never stopped, and they kept coming at West Georgia. Austin Peay's an impressive team. Maybe they've got the hiccups out of the way, and we're going to see them play like this each week going forward. If they do, they're going to be a tough out for anybody.
The hiccups is accurate, and this scoreline wasn't very indicative. You see the two-possession game here. That's not what it was. It wasn't until Fitzgerald threw that pick six where this thing was finally had a bow tie on it. But Austin Peay, they do know how to score points. And without hiccups, this team is a top 15 bona fide ball club. We know that. I think a lot of
Stephen F. Austin, 31. Number 19, Incarnate Word, 17. Somebody called this one, and you could have cashed some money if you'd have listened. But Incarnate Word, I think their playoff hopes now kind of dashed. Some things have to happen in the Southland for them to get there. And that's surprising, considering where they started the season ranked by a lot of people. Number 23, Furman, 31. East Tennessee State, 22. Paladins found themselves on the left-hand side of a score, and they did it with defense, Stone, and they did it by not quitting. The recap segment is brought to you by GameStrat. Looking to gain a real edge on game day? GameStrat is the number one choice for in-game video in the FCS and is trusted by championship programs at every level. With instant access to in-game video, lightning-fast uploads, and no internet required, GameStrat helps coaches make real-time adjustments that win football games. It's easy to use, ultra-reliable, and backed by top-rated support. Don't settle for less. Upgrade to GameStrat and keep up with what the top programs in the country are choosing for their in-game video. Visit GameStrat.com to learn more and schedule your demo today. That's GameStrat.com.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Thanks for sticking with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Now time for us to put a bow on last week, and then we will give you the first taste of this week with our hot off the press FCS Nation Radio Top 25. But first, here are the National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. The FCS Nation National Offensive Player of the Week is Western Carolina quarterback Teron Dickens. What did he do last week? He made NCAA history, y'all, when he completed his first 46 pass attempts of the ball game against Wofford. He finished the ball game 53 for 56 for 378 yards. He had 19 carries for 44 yards, and he engineered a 51-yard game-winning drive. To make all of that mean anything by putting his team in a position to win the ball game at Wofford on the road last week, and that's what he did. The FCS Nation National Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual, is Southern Illinois linebacker Shug Walker. Last week versus Indiana State, 12 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 2 pass breakups, and they got the job done with a big win to set up a huge game this week in Fargo against North Dakota State. Congratulations to Teron Dickens, quarterback, Western Carolina, and Shug Walker, linebacker, Southern Illinois, for being named FCS Nation National Offensive and Defensive Player of the Week, respectively, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. And holding in my hand, I have the FCS Nation Radio Top 25 for Week 6. Number 1, the North Dakota State Bison. Number 2, the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Number 3, the Montana Grizzlies. Number 4, the Tarleton State Texans. And number 5, the Montana State Bobcats.
Kevin, a question that I have for you here. How far is this gap between Montana and Montana State, what actually separates them?
I'll tell you what the difference is for me right now. It's that Montana is scoring points in bunches, and they have that win against North Dakota at home, and I think a lot of North Dakota this season. It's not a huge gap. It narrows a little each week. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens after this week and as we move forward a little bit. Number 6, the Southern Illinois Salukis. Number 7, Tennessee Tech. Number 8, Illinois State. Number 9, the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. And rounding out the top 10, the Monmouth Hawks. Awful lot of Hawks right there at 9 and 10, Stone. Some of them fighting, some of them just regular Hawks.
Awful lot of Hawks, but do you hear that over there in the distance? Kevin, is Southern Illinois the number 1 team in the country if they go to the Fargo Dome and beat North Dakota State? And why is the answer yes?
Man, I don't know, but I'd be hard-pressed and have to think about it a whole lot not to put them there. So I think, you know, if we're going to, you know, deal with things that haven't happened yet and deal with things as we wish they were and not as they are, sure, Stone, why not? Number 11 is the Idaho Vandals. Number 12 is Lehigh. Number 13, Lamar. Number 14, UC Davis. And number 15, Northern Arizona. Well, those two teams are 14 and 15. They're going to play this week, Stone.
Yeah, we're going to get some answers between the two of them. But I do kind of want to ask you a very similar question to what I kicked this thing off with. You know, what is the gap between Montana and Montana State? Kevin, seriously, what is the gap here between Idaho and UC Davis? Is it all that big right now?
No. Actually, I'm thinking that UC Davis is the more dynamic ball club.
Right.
They have the sexier offense. But this Idaho team is like a train, Stone, like a steam-powered train. It just keeps chugging, steady, consistent. I want to see them be explosive this week. They're going to need to be. They're going to need to put some points on the board against Northern Colorado at home for us to continue to justify having them ranked this high. I like this Idaho team. I think they're going to probably do that this week. Number 16 is Jackson State. Number 17 is Harvard. Number 18 is Abilene Christian. Number 19, the Austin Peay Governors. And rounding out the top 20 is West Georgia.
A lot of people don't know about Harvard signal caller Jaden Craig. Do you think he's a starter on any Missouri Valley football team that he so chooses to be on, had he choose that? Do you think this kid could play football pretty much anywhere he wants in the entire country?
Probably, except for maybe North Dakota State, because at North Dakota State, boy, you sure got to wait your turn. and probably South Dakota State too, with the way that the dudes they've had come through there. But yes, he's a player, and he's a top 5, 6, 7 quarterback in the country, and maybe not at the bottom of that top 5, 6, or 7 list neither.
Kevin, when you look at number 18, 19, and 20 here, Abilene Christian, Austin Peay, which one of those three could you see doing damage and sneaking somebody in the playoffs that they don't, that they shouldn't?
So out of those two, I think it would be Austin Peay, because their defense can be hellacious at times. It can also be a sieve at times. It just depends upon how they show up and how they play. But Austin Peay is built like a team that can give a whole lot of people a whole lot of trouble in the FCS playoffs. Number 21 is Youngstown State. Number 22, the Presbyterian College Blue Hose. Number 23, the Furman Paladins. Number 24, the Mercer Bears. And entering the top 25, the Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks. It's time for us to take a timeout. When we come back, Stone Lubanowitz and I will preview all the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. I know you'll want to hang out for that. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for the preview segment. This is where Stone Lubanowitz and I take a quick trip all over FCS Nation, and we preview the biggest games taking place this week. Up first, game of the week, no doubt. Number 6, Southern Illinois, is at number 1, NDSU. Stone, you're a former Southern Illinois quarterback. This is a huge game for your Salukis. You go into Fargo Dome and win. You shock the entire world. What do they need to do to have an opportunity to do that?
Stay on the field, extend drives, convert the third and shorts that you set yourself up with. At least that's what's being preached in the locker room. But this is a North Dakota State team who beat the brakes off of a Saluki team in their own house 24-3 last year. They've won 4 straight against SIU, dating all the way back to 2021 when we laid a beatdown on them. 7-0 in the Fargo Dome. But listen, if you're Southern Illinois, there is no place you would rather play in the country than on the road at North Dakota State, playing the number one team in the country. If there's a big game coach that I know, it's Nick Hill. He plays really good against FBS games. I feel like this game prep this week matches that energy, matches that vibe. They're up for this thing. They're more than worthy than being on the field for this thing. I think whatever this spread is, I'm hoping it's not over a touchdown. I think the Salukis deserve a lot of respect, and you're going to see the parallels in the DJ Williams and Cole Payton looking themselves in the mirror and realizing they're pretty much the same football player. But hey, got a secret for you. DJ Williams is the more explosive of the duo. So excited for this one, Kevin. This is a full-blown popcorn matchup, bona fide game of the week. Put a stamp on it.
Northern Iowa is at number 2, South Dakota State. Northern Iowa has a long rebuild ahead of them. They got destroyed by North Dakota on the road last week. Yes, North Dakota won a road game, folks. They did. And that's impressive for them. But Northern Iowa used to be a really tough place to play, almost as tough as that Alaris Center that North Dakota plays in. I don't see Northern Iowa bringing a whole bunch to the table here. And the Jackrabbits, they had their bad half of football last week at Youngstown State in their mind. Youngstown had a lot to do with it in my mind, but I don't think Northern Iowa is going to have too much for the Jackrabbits in this one. Cal Poly is at number 3, Montana. Cal Poly can give the Grizz some trouble, though, in the passing game. They can move the football down the field, throwing the ball. There's going to be a couple of times in this ball game where Cal Poly is going to have to make throws to open guys. If they can complete those balls, stay on the field, this will be a game for a lot longer than that homecoming crowd in Missoula is going to be comfortable with. Number 4, Tarleton State is at Utah Tech.
Points, 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 and more points. I don't know how this game is any different than Southern Utah and the matchup. For what it is on paper, at least, this is a game where we need to see Tarleton State play some defense. I mean, I don't think there's much more to it. For us and how we see this Tarleton State team, we watch them play. Yes, they're really good, but in the back of our minds, we're just watching, thinking, hey, what is this team going to look like in the postseason? Who is it that they can beat from the Valley? At least that's how the measuring stick is for us. They got to show some defense here. If they can hold Utah State to like under 20, I'll be happy.
You said it, defense. It doesn't seem to matter a whole bunch who plays quarterback for the Texans. They're going to put up 40 or 50 points on just about anybody on their schedule. Can they do that come playoff time? Well, that remains to be seen. But you're going to have to stop people, just like you said. I expect them to be able to do some things on defense, slow Utah Tech down, and win this game fairly handily. But Utah Tech is a ball club that can get up and down the field. If you want to make it a track meet, they're fine with that. Tarleton State needs to play some defense. That's the bottom line. Idaho State is at number 5, Montana State. Well, the schedule maker surely didn't do Idaho State any favors this year in the Big Sky Conference. Hey, tough, physical, hard-fought game last week against Montana. Now go on the road to Bozeman and play the other one. Yikes. They'll show up. They'll throw the ball all over the field. They'll put up some points. Montana State's defense is going to be a better group, I think, than the one they saw last week at home. And that's going to limit Idaho State just a little bit. I expect the Bengals to go out there to Bozeman, compete. But what I'm looking for Montana State is start the game strong and finish it strong on both sides of the ball. No scoreless first quarters like they had last week against Northern Arizona, because if you have that, Idaho State could be up 21-0, and then you're so far behind, you're in a whole lot of trouble. Got to start fast if you're a Bobcat. Number 8, Illinois State is at Murray State. Well, if you have a tough ball game in the Valley, the greatest elixir known to man is a game the next week against Murray State, everybody's favorite Missouri Valley Football Conference opponent. I expect the Redbirds to really get healthy in this one. Last week hurt them. You can't let North Dakota State beat you twice. You got to come out, start fast, and let Murray State know that this is not going to be a ball game at any particular point. I expect Rittenhouse to come out and the Redbirds to spread the field, open up the offense a little bit, and probably run Murray State out their own stadium.
I think so as well. I'm very excited to bring on wide receiver Eddie Casper, Tommy Rittenhouse, one of his go-to targets. He is our honorary captain of the week on behalf of Alex's Lemonade Stand. I'm excited to talk to him and pick his brain on what makes Tommy Rittenhouse so good. That's something that I have pegged for him. Listen, Murray State, I think elixir is the word that I would use alongside you. I love it. I support that all the way. And I think on paper, Kevin, it's just so funny that this is a Missouri Valley Conference football game. But this is a game that if you're Illinois State, it's a confidence builder. You just want to lead this thing wire to wire and get out of there healthy.
Number 21, Youngstown State is at number 9, North Dakota.
North Dakota is a good football team. Let's just say that. Youngstown State is probably in the most awkward scheduling spot that you could possibly be in emotionally. How much is left in the tank? You feel like you let the jackrabbit slip out of your fingers. Then you got to hop on a plane and go to the Allaire Center. I mean, this is not a place you ever want to play. And especially when you, like I said, you don't know how drained and emotionally damaged you are from that South Dakota State game. So this could be a game, I think, that has caution tape over it. North Dakota, there's a chance, pops the Penguins in the mouth. I'm excited to find out.
Number 10, Monmouth is at Towson. This is going to be the same preview for Monmouth each week going forward, Stone. Can their defense get 3 stops? Because if they do, ain't nobody going to stop them. So you get 3 stops, probably win the football game. Towson is 3-3. They have looked good at times this year. They have looked not good at times this year. The question in this ball game is, can Monmouth's defense make Towson's offense look competent for 4 quarters? That's the question in my mind. Northern Colorado is at number 11, Idaho. It'll be homecoming in the Kibbe Dome. And I'm waiting for Idaho to open up the offense, Stone. I wish that they would play Northern Colorado the way they played the last 7 minutes at Montana 2 weeks ago. Go fast. Get the ball down the field. Try to do some things rather than just sit on it. And I think we're maybe going to see that, because I can't be the only one who noticed that that was the best their offense has looked all season.
Yeah, just a sense of urgency, I think, is something they haven't had. But they do have this cool, calm, and collected feel to them. But we need it. We seriously need it from this Vandal squad. We need it. They're lulling us to sleep each and every weekend. We need explosive plays. We need this team scoring 45, 48 points. This could be the weekend we get it. I'm begging for it, but that's where my eyes are. I need to see Idaho score touchdowns. It's just as simple as that, or else these kinds of teams, these kind of Idaho teams, just get boring and thrown off to the side, and they're going to have a crappy matchup come playoff time, and they'll get bounced.
Number 12, Lehigh is at Columbia. I look at them probably handling this one the way that they handled Yale, which, if Yale wouldn't have helped them repeatedly with bonehead penalties, throwing interceptions in the end zone, things that you don't expect smart kids who go to Ivy League league schools to do on the football field. That would have been a little bit more of a tussle. But Lehigh's coming to this thing with an awful lot of confidence, and they're running the football, and they're looking like a team that's going to be tough to beat. Number 15, Northern Arizona, is at number 14, UC Davis. This one is intriguing. Can the Lumberjacks get up off the mat? They put so much into that ball game last week against Montana State at home, and it started out so well for them, Stone, but it didn't end that way. And UC Davis, they put the ball in the air, and Caden Pinnick showed last week that he is a dude. All of us who listen to this show and follow FCS football knew that, but Pinnick is a weapon with his right arm throwing the ball down the field as well as with his legs. Problem matchup for the Lumberjacks.
Listen, if Southern Illinois was not playing North Dakota State, this is the game that I would say is the clear-cut game of the week. This is one where I still haven't decided where I'm going in the pick segment. I don't know who wins this ball game and how, but I'll be damned if I wasn't as excited as I possibly could be to figure this thing out. I think Pinnick's the difference here. I think when two teams match up like this and you find yourself in a tie ball game in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes to go, who's got the more trustworthy, who's got the quarterback who can do it not only through the air, but on his legs, picking up and converting third and sevens. And I think KP's going to be the one to do that this week. And if Northern Arizona does get off the mat, they'll have something different to say, but this is a game of the week. It's just sitting right here for everybody. You need to be tuned in.
Number 18, Abilene Christian, is at number 20, West Georgia. This one was going to be a tough one to break down and pick, but Sam Herter reported at first that Devin Widner, West Georgia's fine quarterback, will be back in action this week. They said they could have played him last week after he went out, but they held him out as a precaution. If he plays and he's 100%, West Georgia has a very good opportunity to win this football game. Abilene Christian's been so up and down. They have looked extremely good some weeks. They have looked very poorly, as my grandmother would say, other weeks as well. West Georgia, up until last week, has been a model of consistency. This is a good matchup here. West Georgia, people say they're not playing for a whole bunch, can't go to the playoffs. Man, playing the spoiler role is fun, Stone. And maybe it's just because I follow a team that's our only role most years, because we ain't going nowhere, but we can sure keep you from going somewhere. That is sometimes the best wine in the world, sir.
I'd be less confident in this West Georgia team had they won last week, Kev. I think they needed a humbling to a degree. I think that Austin Peay team was probably better than them, but they've also beat other teams that are better than them. And you finally get this come back down to earth feeling, hey, we're not the team that we thought they were. Hey, we're not going to go undefeated. All of those thoughts, that all of those dreams that you had kind of go away, and you go back to square one. And I think that's needed for an Abilene team who's walking and more than willing to beat you if you let them. So they should be glad they got their guy back, but this is not an opponent you should take lightly, because they will come in and we've seen them beat teams bad that they were dogs against. So this will be right around a pick. I mean, this is also kind of a faux 1B game of the week here, sneakily.
Number 23, Furman, is at Western Carolina. I don't want to go too far out on a limb here, y'all, but I don't think Teron Dickens going to start off 46 for 46 throwing the football in this ball game like he did last week. I just don't think that's going to happen. Is he going to be effective? You damn right. Is Furman going to show up to Cullowhee with a good quarterback of their own, a good solid game plan, and a defense? Yes. This is going to be a great ball game. Western Carolina's trying to rebuild their season after Dickens was out the first several games, and they've done that so far. I am looking for this game for Western to play some defense, man. You're going to have to stop Furman several times to win the game. And if you're Furman, just keep going up and down the field, man. Try to out Western Carolina, and see if you can do it. I like their chances.
Do as well. Hey, listen, I don't think I'll ever see this again. And I'm not talking about the fact that he completed his first 46 passes, but I'll be damned if a quarterback goes 53 or 56 in a game and needs to drive 60 plus yards down the field to set up a go-ahead field goal that eventually won them the football game. They put a lot of bad things on tape somehow, some way, against a Wofford team. Furman is more than willing to walk into Cullowhee and beat these guys. They need to come correct. They need to finally play some defense. It seems like we haven't seen this Catamount team play defense in like three seasons.
Number 24, Mercer, is at Princeton. This is a very interesting out-of-conference matchup, and God knows the SoCon needs to win one of those type of games. Lord, do they ever. Mercer goes up north to New Jersey. Princeton, we kind of know what they're going to be. From what Tom Barton spoke about last week, they're going to be a throwback type of ball club. They're going to do the little things well. They're not going to help you beat them. Mercer's going to have to play a complete game in all three phases and get good quarterback play to get out of New Jersey with a victory here.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Networks. Now time for my favorite time of the week, y'all. This is the pick segment. This is where Stone Labanowitz and I butt face mask and we pick the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. Up first, number 6, Southern Illinois is at number 1, North Dakota State.
Yeah, I got to do it. I think I'm not speaking in hyperbole when I think Southern Illinois has the lead for a good portion of this ball game here. Listen, 38-31, the final. The Saluki get this thing done. They get their lick back. 7-0 in the Fargo Dome. Well, it's now going to be 7-1. Give me the Dogs on top, Kev. I'm so sorry.
I don't agree with the pick. I agree with the sentiment, but you know, DJ Williams is a difference maker for Southern Illinois. But unless he plays defense too, I like Cole Payton and the Bison here. Take number 1, North Dakota State at home over number 6, Southern Illinois, 34-24. Northern Iowa is at number 2, South Dakota State.
South Dakota State, this is a healthy, plump opponent right for the taking here. Give me the Jackrabbits, 30 to UNI's 7.
It's going to be a long and painful road to rebuild the program for the Panthers, and this is just 1 mile of it, y'all. Take number 2, South Dakota State at home over Northern Iowa, 48-13. Cal Poly is at number 3, Montana.
I think we see a little defense from Montana here. Give me the Grizzlies, 42 to Cal Poly's 14.
Can the Grizz fix some of the problems in their secondary? Can they stop Cal Poly from passing the ball enough to win the football game? I believe they can, and they will. Take number 3, Montana, at home over Cal Poly, 42-28. Number 4, Tarleton State, is at Utah Tech.
Points, 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 bet it. Don't be a fool here if that number has a 5 in front of the total. Just jam it. Just do it. Tarleton State's going to score another 45-50 points. I mean, Tarleton State, 48 to Utah Tech's 27.
The Texans were in a shootout last week, but this week, they're the only ones with a rifle. Take number 4, Tarleton State, on the road over Utah Tech, 45-17. Idaho State is at number 5, Montana State.
For the Bobcats' sake, you got pushed. You got worked for a little bit of that Northern Arizona game last week, and Idaho State played their tails off in their game last week, so I think they're drained. I think they get beat up by the Bobcats here. Gimme Montana State, 38 to Idaho State's 17.
Too much Bobcats running game and defense in this one for the Bengals. The Cats, well, they'll eat the clock, and therefore the Bengals. Take number 5, Montana State, at home in Bozeman, 38-20. Number 7, Tennessee Tech, is at Charleston Southern.
Can't believe I'm doing this. I feel like this is a week 0, week 1 thing when we get these FBS, FCS matchups here. But I think Tennessee Tech scores 60 again. Give me Tennessee Tech 60, Charleston Southern 17.
The only problem the Golden Eagles are going to have is the I-26 traffic making it to Charleston from North Charleston, which is where Charleston Southern is located. Number 7, Tennessee Tech wins 52-17 over CSU. Number 8, Illinois State is at Murray State.
Yeah, this is a lot to a little, and in the words of Kevin Marshall, just not a lot to see here, folks. Give me the Redbirds on top of the Racers, 40-10.
Tommy Rittenhouse and the Redbirds go on the road to everyone in the Missouri Valley Football Conference's favorite opponent. That would be the Murray State Racers, and they'll whip them 44-12. Number 21, Youngstown State, is at number 9, North Dakota.
I actually think North Dakota wins this one pretty easily and definitely wire to wire. Give me the Fighting Hawks, 21 to Youngstown State's 20.
Not me, sir. I think Youngstown State is going to get the job done here. They're going to come into this ball game double-digit underdogs. And after what we saw last week, I'm not buying it. Give me number 21, Youngstown State, in the upset special of the week. Penguins win over number 9, North Dakota, in Grand Forks, 31-28. Number 10, Monmouth, is at Towson.
Monmouth and Monmouth only. We pick them until we're told otherwise. 35-14 on top of Towson.
Towson isn't bad, but I don't think even the Monmouth defense can make the Tigers' offense look great for 4 quarters. Monmouth gets the 3 stops on defense they need, and they'll win 41-21 on the road over Towson. Northern Colorado is at number 11, Idaho.
Give me the Vandals, 35-21.
I really think we're going to see Idaho open up the offense in this one and take the bad that is going to come with that along with the good, because there's going to be way more good, y'all. Take number 11, Idaho, in the Kibbe Dome over Northern Colorado, 31-10. Number 12, Lehigh, is at Columbia.
This is a game that Lehigh wins 28-10 on top of Columbia. Columbia just not too competitive as they sit right now.
Second straight Ivy League opponent for Lehigh, And this one's going to go the same way as the last one. Mountain Hawks will win. Take number 12, Lehigh over Columbia, 28-13. Number 15, Northern Arizona is at number 14, UC Davis.
Give me the Lumberjacks and my first upset special of the week, 28-27 on top of the Aggies. I can just smell it.
This one has a lot of points and last one to have the ball in the end zone when the clock runs out kind of vibes to it to me. And I think that'll be the Aggies. Take number 14, UC Davis at home over number 15, Northern Arizona, 42-38. Number 18, Abilene Christian is at number 20, West Georgia.
I went back and forth here. I ultimately think that I'm siding with Abilene Christian here. I can't call it an upset special of the week. I think this Abilene Christian team, there's a chance that they're favored over this West Georgia squad. Give me Abilene Christian 35 to West Georgia's 27.
West Georgia will have their QB back, and that'll make all the difference. Take number 20, West Georgia, to upset number 18, Abilene Christian, 38 to 35. Number 23, Furman, is at Western Carolina.
I think this is a game in the SoCon. We see a lot of points. Give me Western Carolina. Coming out of this thing, though, 42 to Furman's 33.
Good quarterback matchup here, and Furman can really get after the QB. But that QB they're going to be trying to get after, well, his name's Teron Dickens, and I'm going to take Western Carolina. And the second upset special of the week, Catamounts win 31-27 over number 23, Furman. Number 24, Mercer, is at Princeton.
Mercer beats up on Princeton here, I think, pretty handily. Give me Mercer 34 to Princeton's 10.
Interesting matchup here that the Bears should and will win. Take number 24, Mercer, on the road over Princeton, 34-24. That brings us to the end of another episode of FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. FCS Nation is co-hosted and produced by Mr. Stone Labanowitz. I'm executive producer and host Kevin Marshall, thanking you for making FCS Nation a small part of your football week. And like always do, y'all, I'd like to remind you that life's a lot like football. You play by the rules and the penalties won't kill you. Until next week, so long, everybody.